afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Friday, July 14th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I have a full panel round table today, folks. We have Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener joining us. Stephen, welcome, sir.
Howdy, Richard. Hello, RBN. Thanks for having me again, sir.
Yes, indeed. Good to have you here, my brother. We have Jeremy from Kentucky here as well today. Jeremy, good to have you here. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, thanks a lot, Richard. Give me just a couple of seconds here to plug some shows. The Punch Bowl tonight with the William Repellum, 9 p.m. Central on RBN. And tomorrow I'll be on Chris Switzer's show at 1 p.m. Central, the Freedom Ministry. Two great shows that you don't want to miss.
Okay, excellent. And we have, from across the pond, Paul Edward Stevenson here with us. Paul, welcome, sir.
Hi, Richard. It's good to be with you all.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. Indeed. I mean, I like our Monday shows, but it's also good for you to interact with some of the other fine American dissidents we have here around RBN.
Quite. I just finished a recording of an interview with a Christian guy, and it's going to be a different. I don't know whether I'll air it tomorrow or next Saturday, but it was on the Kingdom of God. But we got into the whole mental health issue and stuff like that as well, and different things. But obviously it's different from what we've been talking about generally. It was much more, you know, Christian, and because it's territory, really, you know. But yeah, so I'll either air it tomorrow or next Saturday.
Okay, good. Yeah, you know, I actually had intended to add someone else here, and I seem to have had a bit of a mix-up here. Like sometimes some people will have two different profiles, you know, from different eras, and so there could be a bit of an issue because of that. But now here we should have okay. Yes, we have another participant, folks, and this gentleman is, of course, known to the RBN family. Let's face it, it's a family here, but of course, we have none other than the evil white supremacist himself, the original Fed bait operative, Paul, in California. Paul, how are those cotton candy suppositories working out?
You're always changing up my intro. I can't say that I mind it all that much. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I am here to say to everybody, we must secure the existence of our race and a future for mulatto children, because that's what we're going to have.
You know, Paul, my apologies. I actually added your earlier profile you had on Skype, and so that one got called instead of this one. I wish I could just remove that one from my contacts. Maybe I'll be able to do that so I don't have these issues in the future. Because, yeah, you created one in the past that was separate from this one. Sometimes with smartphones, it makes you reinstall and it can get complex with
it
that.
It all worked out. Looks like we've got a full house here. We have everybody. We got Jeremy, Stephen, Paul, and then Paul. Great.
And yes, I have plenty of articles to drudge before you and force you to comment on as well, Paul. We have Carrie Lake out there saying corruption is at every level across every spectrum of our government being ignored. Okay, but you know, when you look into what's being discussed, it's talking about, of course, the Biden family, for the most part, Chinese military intelligence, and FBI covering for Biden administration as a focus here. We heard about the Israeli who was going to testify against the Biden administration, who was blocked with an indictment from the Bidens. So, you know, come on. You know, an Israeli was going to save us from the Bidens, Paul.
Well, I see everybody else is muted, so I guess that means I must speak on this. Carrie Lake is not a bad-looking white woman, I got to say that, you know, so. what the hell am I supposed to say about this stuff?
Well, let's get
some comments from the Brain Trust. I'll put myself on mute.
Well, here, Jeremy, do you want to comment on, you know, just, yeah, the domestic political kangaroo court sort of system, a theater we're seeing now, is there is a lot of lawfare going on out there.
Yeah, so Carrie Lake, what, Arizona governor candidacy, and she was cheated. So what's funny is that we're not focusing on the election fraud, but rather we're supposed to worry about Hunter Biden smoking crack and getting, like, hookers. Maybe one of them's underage. Trump is getting indicted. We're still at war in the Ukraine. So, again, 24 is coming up on us, and we're not addressing the real issue, the fact that they're going to steal yet another election and no one's doing anything about it. Let's focus on this other stuff. And the child trafficking thing, horrible, and these people should be hung, you know, after, of course, going through the, you know, litigation, yada, yada. But, like, that's another thing. Why do they want us to focus on this movie? I'm sure it's a great movie. I plan on watching it. I'm sure it will bring me to anger and tears both. But they're wanting us to focus on all these things and not address real issues. One of which, and I know you've got an article on this, Richard, is the white displacement that's going at a phenomenal rate, like a rate that can't be reversed at this point. Even if we tried to push all these people out, you know, they're housing them in hotels and all of that. All of these issues that are superficial, we're supposed to focus on and ignore what's really happening. That's my comment on the whole thing.
Oh, brilliant. Yes, and indeed, the corruption in voting is at the top of the list. The illegal immigration and the legal immigration as well, of course, is probably the most crucial when you look at the culture as a whole, you know, in the long term, the most crucial factor right now. But when you look at the immediate and our lifetimes, you know, perhaps, yeah, that's not at the top of some people's list. They're looking at the economy more or something. So it depends on, you know, how you value. And if you're looking more toward your children's future, that could influence people, obviously. But yeah, you know, I'd like
what
to.
What I really want to know about is the cocaine in the White House. I'm just dying to know, like, where that, what happened to that.
Yeah, yeah, and you could only wonder. Yeah, there are so many possibilities, and I can't imagine how that could have gotten there. I don't know. I could be curious to hear you gentlemen's thoughts on Ukraine as well, but this closer to home is more relevant to everything we're talking about here. Massachusetts spares millionaire destinations from taking in illegal aliens. So yeah, it's been noticed that all of the areas of that state where millionaires like to hang out, they're avoiding having all of these migrant motels, as they're starting to be known as, migrant motels. So it's definitely about third world for you, but not for us, those who are beyond a certain economic class. And dovetailing with that, stressing that we're further seeing the middle class disintegrate right before our eyes. You know, vast hordes of Americans are being forced out in the streets as the middle class disintegrates, is the latest Michael Schneider article. Stephen, would you like to comment?
If I had it in front of me, I would recite that Patrick Henry quote about the siren song of hope that keeps being, we sing to ourselves thinking that, you know, the government or elections are going to fix this. That's, you know, that's just so far, that ship sailed a long time ago, in my opinion. And, you know, you're right about that. The NIMBY thing, the NIMBY effect, not in my backyard. These millionaires know, they think it's all good unless it affects them personally. You know, don't put somebody next to me where, you know, my daughter might run into him or something on the way to the bar, you know, whatever. It's just, it's always what's good for them is not good for us. We they're definitely trying to make us into a third world nation here. The middle class is headed to be a third world nation here in this country. That's exactly what's going on, and I think a lot of people see that happening. And all this other stuff is to distract us from that. I think that is the main thing that's happening now. We're being overrun by the legal and illegal immigration, and the economy is just being yanked right out from under us. And there you go. It's Weimar America, y'all. That's what I see it.
I paid $6 for a loaf of bread yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. It's typical.
Yeah, we need to get to that point where it's bad enough, you know, like in the Dumb and Dumber scene. You remember the time that the pets' heads are falling off? And then maybe some people will do something about it. I think it has to get bad enough, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, Paul, yeah. You had a great article from National Vanguard talking about what England has come to. And here we have Paul Stevenson here today with us who's actually living in what was formerly known as the
England. You have to remind me.
The London of Europeans. Yeah, I mean, it's all Indians there now, practically, right, Paul?
Yeah, well, you know, you talked about the middle classes. And someone asked us, I think it was a caller the other day, asked about the class system over here. And then the middle classes, I think it's different over here. I know from experience, the middle, because I've been in America, and I know Americans who are middle class, they're not the same as the middle classes here. The middle classes here are a new phenomenon. It's always been kind of the British people have always been serfs up until very recently, where you've had the emergence of a middle class, which has been historically in America, common. That was the appeal, where you had for once in history, the majority of people were the middle class. It's a new phenomenon here. But politically and culturally, they tend to be extremely left-wing. And I actually think it'd be a good thing when these people are broke, when the whole thing collapses, because it's a whole house of cards anyway. They all live beyond their means, the majority of them in debt. And when the whole thing collapses and their little lifestyle, which allows them to virtue signal and meanwhile put, you know, drive around in, you know, £100,000 4x4 Audis, Land Rovers, everything else, I suppose, for their security. Or personnel carriers, and they live in gated communities. When they go to Glastonbury, the liberal festival, this thing's got a wall around it that's impenetrable. But then they advocate for open borders, but they don't care about anything. They're so arrogant. They think they know everything about everything. They're so enlightened, and all they care about is their money, their house, their little coffee shops, their little clubs that they go to. And maybe when they're stripped of their phony wealth, they might be humbled and start asking questions. I mean, I was reading in one of the papers over here today, and I joked with my son when we were out today. There's little comments. It's a free newspaper in the Metro, which is a pretty sort of, you know, liberal kind of paper that you get. And, you know, people can write in with their comments. Now, Ben Wallace, the defense secretary, recently kind of took a jab at Zelensky and said, you know, we're not Amazon. You know, he was essentially saying, you know, what about some gratitude? And then here you have these morons in the paper pushing back and condemning Wallace, you know. It's a bit rich of Defense Secretary Ben Wallace to ask Ukraine for gratitude when they are defending us, you know. Mr. Wallace is, however, right to caution that it's hard to keep those boneheaded isolationist U.S. Republicans on board in the defense of the Europe project. It's crucial. This is the language. It's crucial that Ukraine can hold the line against Russian aggression. Ukrainian lives have been sacrificed defending our freedom as well as their own countries. And there's another guy at the end of it. He went on, will Russia stop there or will it march forward, crushing the weakest states as its troops head for the channel? That's our channel. Cluster bombs will be supplied to try to stop Russian forces advancing and for many years to come. But these are indiscriminate munitions which we have no idea whose hand or foot they will touch. There is no morality in war, and there are no morals in Vladimir Putin, and even less in Donald Trump. He had to bring Trump into it. The free world cannot allow Donald Trump to become president again because he will sell Ukraine down the river. Yeah, what's left of Ukraine? I don't know about you, but I'm looking at Ukraine going down that river at breakneck speed right now, you know? But I joked with my son that maybe they had a competition, you know, like in a primary school for 10-year-olds to write into the paper, and then they would pick the three best comments for a competition.
What paper?
You know, It's a paper cone. The Metro. And, you know, the first one was, oh, yeah, this is the other one. Stephen Spark in Balham, which is a salubrious liberal London suburb. Dictators never stop voluntarily. Putin will go as far as he can until he's defeated. Forget gratitude. All we need is a Ukrainian victory. I mean, these, honestly, these are grown men. As I say, we laughed. This is like, is this for real? Or is this some sort of competition in a primary school where you've had three young girls write in and then they pick the three best, little offerings? But it's retarded. They think Russia's coming to the British Channel. I mean,
by the way, that was a nice drop of salubrious. Don't you think you can get that? I mean, that's well done there. You British are so educated. That's why I like you.
Yeah, salubrious. Well, salubrious. Yeah, it just means, you know.
Hey, so
too
Paul,
much,
just quickly.
Too much.
So give me a quick, if you can, a thumbnail of what they would consider middle class in England. I mean, would that be, say, would one of the things define it, maybe home ownership or something like that?
Well, you would probably, you know, by this stage, you'd have probably worked through your 20s. You'd be getting into your 30s. Certainly by the time you get into your mid-30s, early 40s, you'd be, you know, 80,000 a year, and your wife is probably earning maybe 40,000 a year. You can afford two cars. You've got a hefty, you know, you've got a decent sized property, possibly in a gated community. Your credit rating is through the roof, and I know people like this, and they live in these gated communities, and they're, but the debt, they, even though they might have an income of, say, on average, say 100,000 a year, They live like millionaires. So if the interest rate's going up, or if there happened to be an economic crisis where they lost their jobs or whatever, these people are over-leveraged. They're in over their heads. So if you had any significant financial crisis, they can't service the debt. You know, these people don't own very much. They, you know, they live way beyond their means. You know, to these, honestly, it's just they drive around in these brand-new 4x4 big, chunky Mercedes 4x4s, most often. They live in very nice houses, you know, houses which maybe they bought 20 years ago for 400,000-500,000, and those houses are now worth 4, 5, 6 million. This is why you have a crisis where you can't, the next generation coming through have got zero chance of ever getting on the housing market. So the whole thing's a scam anyway, because you've now got children and grandchildren living in the same house.
Yeah, it's. I'm actually trying to help a friend of mine now. She's got to be out of her place. She's literally got the classic Asian slumlord. He's not Chinese. The Chinese love to get as much property as they can, not maintain it, and collect the rent. But this guy's actually Vietnamese. But it's like her rent's gone up from $2,800 a month to $3,400 a month. And I've seen this place. It's basically in the hood or in the barrio. It's just, it's a piece of crap. It's like a triplex. And literally, I mean, it's going to cost her, you know, $6,000 plus just, you know, to get another place, move somewhere else. You know, I mean, now I remember back in the day, I'm a little bit older, I suppose, but, you know, it was no big deal to go and get a place or move. Now, I mean, you got to have the better part of $10,000 if you're going to relocate anywhere. And, you know, as we all know, the real world wages in terms of purchasing power have been more or less frozen since like the 70s. In other words, what a working man makes based upon the cost of living has not really risen with anything else. So it's just, people are just, the squeeze is being put on like you wouldn't believe everywhere.
Well put. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air. And 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with my roundtable panelists, Stephen Douglas Weitener, Jeremy from Kentucky, Paul in California, and Paul Edward Stevenson. And, well, to follow up those comments, I would just stress that, well, of course, we're seeing constant increases in the spending of the government. National debt interest costs $122 billion. That's 18% of spending on June 2023. The federal deficit nearly tripled. U.S. tax receipts dropped significantly. Another headline on the same topic, endgame. U.S. federal debt interest payments about to hit $1 trillion. And it goes on into details, but end game, what is really being implied there? That there's going to be some point where this reckless spending, stealing from us, basically hidden taxation through inflation to a large extent. But no, that is a staggering fact, Paul, that you said since the 70s, the wages have not gone up with the cost of living, with the price of everything else around us. And so what, that's 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty much well known. You know, any number of so-called economists and labor activists have, trotted out that statistic for quite a while now in terms of what, real purchasing power, real wages versus, what it costs to make it in this world. And I mean, you can see it all around you. It's real. I mean, for me, the easiest thing is the price of gas, right? That's one of the benchmarks, but you can do it with everything else, right? Eggs, bread, housing, rent. Rent is just out of this world. I mean, it's just like whatever they can get away with now. They're really, it's basically no holds barred on the rent out here. But yeah, gas is the easiest example. For me, when I was a kid, about 1 hour of labor, you know, would buy nearly 10 gallons of gas. I started out making $2.50 an hour. That was minimum wage when I first started working when I was 17. And gas was about 27 cents a gallon. So, and it stayed that way for probably, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10 years. For the most part, a decent job, you know, 1 hour, hour and a half of work, you could buy, you know, 8 to 10 gallons of gas. Well, show me now where 1 hour of normal wage earning work can buy 10 gallons of gas. It doesn't compute, and so on and so on.
Stephen.
Sorry, that hit me at cut out. There was a time when the price of gold, the what was a dollar back, say, in the 20s, was a gold dollar. And that had kept pace with the real value of money up to a time. But now it's so far removed that, you know, it's just real wages have been going down, actually, I think, since 2008, since then at least, that you could buy less than you could. I remember when I first started. Now, when I first started driving and working around here, that was 48.9 was a gallon of gas. It had pretty much doubled since 73 here locally. 76, 75, 76. We'd get paying 48.9 a gallon. So it was to the point where, you know, I think my minimum wage when I first started was $2.30 an hour too, Paul. So I do remember those days, but I don't remember myself buying 23 cents a gallon gas. I do remember seeing it at the pump when I was younger, though. And it just, the money is worth less. These things are not worth more, and it doesn't keep pace. It's trying to eat up more and more of the economy. And yeah, go ahead.
Well, I can say, so what's happening here, I mean, it's probably not unique, but it's kind of, shall we say, in this market more than any, California especially, but the Bay Area, so-called Silicon Valley, is we're being pulled upward by this false, I call it a false economy, of like Google, Apple, eBay, you know, PayPal, all this crap that you see everywhere out here, right, where it doesn't really add real wealth to the economy, right, but it's just, it's the high-tech sector. And these people are making huge money. I mean, typically a lot of these so-called software, you know, people, they're making $150,000 to $200,000 a year. So everything is geared towards them in terms of, you know, the rental market and everything else. I mean, I'll give you an example, right? $20 an hour is not a bad job. I mean, there's a lot of jobs out here that are $17, $18, $19. And, you know, occasionally you can find them for $23 to $25. Hell, In-N-Out Burger, just so you know, I've seen the signs. In-N-Out Burger is now offering $21 an hour, you know, because they can get and keep people that way. Well, there was an article in the San Jose paper a while back, I kept the article, that said that the average one-bedroom apartment in the greater San Jose area would require you to make about $41 an hour to qualify. So, you know, What are you going to do? Like I said, if people have a $21 to $22 an hour job, that's a job they're going to keep. It's not bad. Well, how does that work out? How does that compete? It just doesn't.
Indeed. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D-printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with my roundtable panelists, Stephen Douglas Whitener, Jeremy from Kentucky, Paul in California, and Paul Edward Stevenson. Stephen was making another comment in the Skype chat here on the topic. Stephen, you were pointing out the Republican isolationists would be a good thing too, but they are mostly neocons now, you'd point out. Too often American middle class is tied to the military industrial complex. Do you want to elaborate on that slightly before we go to Jeremy?
Well, I just thought that when Paul was mentioning how the middle class is over in the UK, and then Paul pointed out that it's like the big tech in California, too often, at least in my neck of the woods, it's either tied to military base or some military industrial complex. That's how – so they hard for them to think in isolationist terms. They think that their bread and butter, so to speak, is war, that war they think is good for them, and that's been a really bad thing with the Republican Party. I think they've turned them into neocons now. At one time, they may have been isolationists, but yeah, I don't think that's so much a thing here now. But very, very rare anyway. I just wanted to point that out. Thank you.
And Jeremy, perhaps before going to another topic, I mean, we should at least comment on the developments in Ukraine. We're hearing Biden is ordering military reserves to Europe. Let's see, he requested the removal of Ukraine aid oversight as well. And so, yeah, you know, a lot are out there complaining in articles like Martin Armstrong's complaining about Zelensky's self-absorption and, just the theater, you know, how he's always in military green fatigues, never dressing like a statesman, you know. And, of course, you can't join NATO when you're at in a state of war, you know, or even, you know, even to look like a statesman could help, you know, in a suit occasionally if you wanted to seem like something other than, again, just theatrics. But yeah, that's the way they put it. Zelensky only wears army colors to psychologically present that Ukraine is at war and will never dress as a head of state should. Admitted, there seems to be no readiness to invite Ukraine to NATO or make it a member. He's refused to accept the rules of NATO, and Ukraine cannot join while it is at war with Russia. Jeremy, do you want to comment on that before we move on?
Yeah, a few things. I mean, no, they don't want Ukraine to join NATO. They want this war to drag out because war is very lucrative. The two things that empower the American empire are the ability to deploy anywhere and, you know, what was considered in the past superior military force. That's the one thing. And then the second thing that backs up the American empire is the fact that the oil producing companies must buy oil in dollars. Well, both of these things are collapsing. And I would argue that it is a controlled collapse of the West. But then to get back to like the end game on this financial stuff, just speaking in regards to the situation in West Kentucky and in these areas, Missouri, Southern Illinois, West Tennessee, in order to make a living around here, now that we've gotten rid of both of our tire factories in the last two decades, you know, Goodyear and Mayfield and the tire factory in Union City, Tennessee, we've gotten rid of those because of NAFTA. So people are buying chicken farms and hog processing farms, and they're going into debt to the tune of $5 and $6 million just to barely clear $100,000 a year and then just make that payment. I mean, that's unsustainable. And I would say that the end game would be for Jewish-run organizations like BlackRock and Vanguard to eventually buy these farms out. All the soybean producers, you know, corn and wheat, hogs and chickens, for BlackRock to buy these out, because all of these farmers are miserable. I mean, they may drive $70,000 and $80,000 vehicles and live in $500,000 homes, but they're miserable. They're in bad debt. And one wrong move and their whole thing collapses. They would gladly sell out to these big corporations. And once these corporations control our food, that's the end game. That's my take on that whole thing. And yeah, I don't see any war in the Ukraine. I don't see Ukraine joining NATO. They want to keep this going. I would anticipate that Nuland and Xi Jinping and Putin and Zelensky all get on the phone every day and talk about this. I'm nuanced. I'm not going to go so far as to say that Putin and China are controlled by Jews. But what I am saying is that nobody wants a war. Nobody wants cities bombed all over the world. The whole thing collapses at that point. They want to keep this going and keep making money on this war. That's my take on it.
So just quickly, so that was an outstanding analysis, which I almost agree with all of it. And the other thing about Putin is I don't really have much doubt at this point. I've just seen another article on another video just the other day. I don't have much doubt that he's Jewish, that he's had a Jewish mother. And how much he's going along with the Jewish agenda, well, some of it's apparent, some of it's not, but I don't trust the guy. And you know how we've all seen those little compilation films of the various U.S. presidents with the Jews, you know, being photographed, you know, blah, blah. You know, same thing with Putin, right? And also I saw one the other day, it was a little compilation of images of him, you know, kowtowing with these queers and the LGBTQ rainbow coalition crap they got over there. So, you know what? Like I said, Putin, quote, may be doing some good things, but he's not explicitly pro-war. I don't trust him.
And the nuance comes in where, like, I think Putin legitimately did not want NATO, you know, missiles on the border of Ukraine. I mean, there is a legitimate thing there, and probably he is a wild card. They want to get rid of the guy. I mean, that's of a certainty. They hate this guy. You know, how much is he in on it? I don't know. I mean, he's probably legitimate in a lot of areas, which is why they want to get rid of him. But I seriously doubt that we're on the verge of any kind of, quote, nuclear war, unquote. That just doesn't make sense.
Paul Stevenson?
Yeah, no, we're not.
Well, it certainly doesn't make sense for Russia. Why would they? They're losing that war, and their conventional fashion. You know, and why would you bomb? Why would you put a nuclear bomb in a country next door to you? You know, I mean, you know, even that the idea that they're going to, you know, strike the Zaporizhia plant that they went to great lengths to control, and that whole Donbass region has got a lot of resources in it, and then you're just going to destroy it all when you're completely battering the living daylights out of the poor Ukrainians, whatever's left of them. But, you know, Zelensky, I don't know. There's a picture now which has kind of gone viral where he was standing there in his army gear. And, you know, don't forget the guy's an actor. But I almost felt sorry for him. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people over here who are genuinely feeling sorry for him because he's standing there in his own, and all the NATO kingpins are all standing around talking and seem to not really care about Zelensky. It could have been staged. It wouldn't surprise me. But, you know, you wonder, you know, because Zelensky at one point was going to negotiate some sort of deal with the Russians, and then Boris Johnson went over there and scuppered it. But, you know, they've been led down the garden path. I mean, someone hit the nail on the head, you know, recently. And obviously, we agree with this and we talk a lot about it. But this was never a war supporting Ukraine. This was a war, a proxy war against Russia, using the Ukrainians and wrecking the country and murdering, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of their soldiers and displacing millions of them. I mean, when's the penny going to drop with the Ukrainian people themselves? I mean, talk about you will know them by their fruits. You know, how has this been good for Ukraine? But you see, they just keep blaming Russia. There's a thing over here which is a facade of democracy, that if there's a petition, we have petitions over here where if it reaches a certain amount, the government they have to respond. And the petition was the referendum on – we want a referendum on ending government economically costly support to Ukraine. And it reached – sadly, it reached a meager 13,000 signatures. But if it's over 10,000, they have to respond. If it's over 100,000, they have to have an actual debate about it. Anyway, the government responded. I'll give you a little flavor of it. Russia's attempts to destroy Ukraine threaten security and prosperity across the world. Three-quarters of UN members condemned Russia's invasion. The government does not support holding a referendum. Russia's invasion of Ukraine was unjustified and unprovoked and is the most egregious violation of international law and the UN Charter since World War II. As a sovereign state, Ukraine has the right to determine its own future, and we stand with our Ukrainian friends as they fight for their survival. Peace is achievable in 24 hours. If only all Russia has to do to end the war tomorrow by withdrawing its troops from Ukraine. This is, you know, the response of the government, you know, and this apparently is made up of 11 MPs that get together and they had the temerity to put down, including of the opposition. Sorry, where's the opposition? And that's just a snapshot of it, but that's the government's response. So there is no debate over here it's ever going to be had. It's very disappointing. There's only 13,000 people responded to that. I don't know whether that's just a sign of the indifference, really, you know. People, probably like the majority of people in the U.S., it's just like, you know, they don't really care about Ukraine, you know.
Yes. Well, Stephen.
Well, they are definitely licking their chops, wanting more war to keep it going. It's like the new Vietnam. Just keep pouring more blood and treasure down this hole so we can collapse what is left of the U.S. and the West. And it's just, I don't know, it's infuriating. I pick the side of peace, you know. Putin was backed into a corner. You can see that, how they kept pushing NATO more and more. And then, you know, Nuland was there and overthrew the government. This whole thing, you can see, was initiated from the NATO side. And That's obvious, but it seems like, you know, the only way to win this thing is not to fight it. It's futile for us to keep killing each other. I saw this interview with a Ukrainian soldier in the trenches who had been abandoned by his unit, and that they were interviewing him. He was saying how, well, they've come to the end. He was conscripted. He was forced, and that's all they have now is to go around and force people. They're not volunteering to go fight in Ukraine. I think the only way this thing will eventually end is if the Ukrainians themselves have enough and throw Zelensky and this gang out. You know, I don't know. That's the only thing I could see stopping it at this point right now. Because as you pointed out, they wanted to make peace back March afterwards, and then they wouldn't allow that. That was why the Russian troops withdrew from Kiev. They thought there was a peace agreement. That's come out now. So it is us. It is NATO. It is the masters of war that are pushing things and keep pushing it. And this, like you said, the Ukrainians have been had, man. I really do feel for them. That's like – it's just awful, man, to see those cousins basically murdering each other, more white brothers fighting fratricide. It infuriates me, y'all. I choose peace if we can.
To your point, Stephen, I mean, the Jewish powers have won since World War One. They want to stop this natural geopolitical alliance that Russia should have with Europe, because then Russia and China would dominate Eurasia, and the Jews in the West don't want that. That's been a thing since World War One. You know, World War Two. That's why the U.S. has put bases all over Europe and have encroached, you know, Russia and surrounded it. So to the point that if Putin is corrupt and wants anything, it's that he wants an alliance with Europe to dominate that region, that whole entire half the globe.
Yeah. Right.
Let's just jump into just two quick things. So, you know, the problem is pretty well known, and of course it needs to be articulated over and over again, is this international Jewish finance capital, okay, that the National Socialists in Germany spoke out so vehemently and so well against. That's the issue. This war would not take place without international finance capital controlled by you know who. That has to be destroyed. And that's my thing. That's my beef with people like Putin or Trump. So it's well understood. I in other words, I accept all the things that you guys have said about Putin. That's fine and dandy. But you could say the similar things about Trump. Well, he does have some good things, right? He does do this well. He does do that well. Or they are against him, right? But again, neither one of them will name, much less take on, entrenched Jewish power. Okay, they just won't do it. You know, Trump will never talk about the Federal Reserve. I've heard many of these Putin speeches, which, quote, are great, and people rave about these speeches he's given. But he's had ample opportunity to name the Jew, and he never does so. So to me, it's go ahead. Same old story.
Oh, I'm sorry, Paul. That's such an excellent point. Let me just interject that Putin has nothing to lose. The Jewish oligarchs are gone. Everybody's against him. They want him overthrown. Why doesn't he name the Jew? That's my question. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That was my frustration as well, but with Putin.
Well, he wants to stay in the good graces. I mean, you know, people who are leaders, they hang out with other leaders in their social circles and all the different events they have to go to and everything. They don't hang out with everyday people. So they still want to be accepted among those ranks, even if they think that they have better ideals for the citizens than most of those other leaders in theory, and that's if I were to give a lot of benefit of the doubt to Putin. But I mean, we have a caller on here, folks. Let's try to bring him on, get him started before the commercial at least. Andy in Texas. Andy.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for taking my call.
Do we have Andy?
Yeah, no, Jeremy, you were saying just a little bit earlier about the food. Once they get control of the food.
Okay, well, who wanted to comment?
Just a quick point, okay, on this thing about national. So, look, Putin may indeed be a nationalist in some capacity, right, a Russian nationalist, even though, okay, he has been in favor of this multiculturalism in Russia. This is known and documented and so forth. Just like Trump, okay, Trump may indeed be a nationalist and especially have some economic interests of the American people in his mind. But he is not explicitly pro-white, and he certainly will never take on you-know-who, right? So therefore, it's kind of like we're in a cage, okay? So he's a nationalist within the cage, but he's never going to make us sovereign over our own cage, okay? That's the kind of the way that I see it. In other words, he will never touch the third rail, the fourth rail, the fifth rail. And these are all things that are crucial to, you know, everyday working people's interest, right? I mean, that's what the problem is, right? It's the fact that BlackRock and Vanguard and international Jewish capital exists and is able to reign supreme over all of us. That's the issue, and there are no other issues, in my opinion.
I believe we have Andy in Texas on now. Andy.
Yes, sir. I'm on?
Yes, you're on, sir. What would you like to contribute?
Okay. So, no, Jeremy made a point just a little while ago. He said something about once they get control of the food, that's kind of the end of the show. Well, I would argue that they already have control of the food, at least for the majority of the people who do the box store stuff. If you're an organic guy, if you're going to farms, perhaps you have a relationship with the Amish wherever you're at and whatnot. You're not filling that. But these box stores, I mean, think what's in your meat at Walmart. We already learned that Bill Gates has these vertical. He bought all these farms and stuff, and now he's building these what he calls vertical farms, and they're big greenhouses with rotating little things in there, and they're gonna make their own food in there, and it's gonna just look like your same produce that you get. And he said the main two marketplaces are Kroger's and Walmart. And so we have to be very curious about the food that we go for and whatnot. Everything that we're eating right now, it may or may not be actual food.
And they're putting vaccines as well, too, so you know that.
Yeah, the mRNA, yes, the spike protein. Absolutely. And that was the number one thing with the vertical farms. So how do we – look, we're really in a pretty good flipping movie right now. I don't think George Lucas or Oliver Stone could write a good movie that would even placate what the hell we're going through right now. This is an awesome flipping movie, and we're each and every one of us are a star in this movie. And it depends on what we do, whether we survive or not, or whether other people survive or not. There's a lot of weight on our shoulders. The people who are awake to what's going on in this world, there's a lot of weight on our shoulders. And a lot of us have just said, hey, forget it. It's worthless. I'm not going to do it. And that's happened. That's happened a lot. There's a lot of good patriots out there that just said, hey, screw it. I'm done. These people don't want to wake up. But those of us who are still awake and still want to participate in this society, we have an obligation here. And, and Jeremy, I know you know this more than anything. God would sanction this. God would sanction you. Yeah, that's why you're here. That's why we're all here. We're all here for this specific time that we're living in our lives right now. And you, whatever, don't go to that level. I don't care. I feel it. Jeremy fills it. Chris Switzer fills it. Chris Hinckley fills it. All these different people fill it. We're here for a reason. And the problem that we have right now is a bad communication level. We can't communicate with people. They've dumbed us down.
There's a lot of interesting problems. The one thing I will say is it's just like they talked about all those decades ago with, quote, communism. They'll do it without firing a shot. And that's basically what has occurred. They're doing it all without firing a shot. And
for any
American, any pissed off patriot to consider quitting or say giving up before they fire a shot is pathetic, in my opinion. Okay, you can't quit until you're out of ammo. That's when you quit. That's when
I'll just say on the Bill Gates topic, Bill Gates and his father, as the Rockefellers have been preoccupied with population reduction their entire lives, are very proud of it, actually. And so the fact that he's buying up all this farmland, getting so into GMO foods and what have you, that's just as disturbing as the mRNA gene therapy. For sure, he definitely wants to alter some people so that they have shorter lives, probably, and have a two-tier system that's genetically modified. For at the very least, if not a few different tiers of types of human, I think they'd really have those sort of psycho sci-fi plans that they don't rule out, But let's try to fit in Stephen again. Stephen,
Yes, I agree, Andy. We are what there is of the resistance, just living in a different way, trying to make these people irrelevant as much as possible. You know, the opposite of love ain't hate, it's indifference. If I could become indifferent to these scumbags and be able to live my own life and thrive, well, I would have achieved victory without firing a shot myself. But I don't know how to go about doing that, and they want us exterminated. That is the sad fact. I mean, I did embrace the non-aggression principle back years ago, and then I thought, but you're a target. I'm ID tagged, tracked, and they want me as a white male, especially a traditional white male, to be exterminated. We're a threat to them, and I don't know. I do believe you're right, and I try never to eat industrial products masquerading as food. You're right about that. They have taken over that to a large degree. And the more people can stop eating industrial products that are imitating of food, then the better that we'll become, stronger and smarter and you know, less toxic. that's a fact. People do that if you can. I agree.
Jeremy?
Just to go on with that point that Stephen and Andy are making, the control of food, I mean, when it happens, and it will, you know, God has ordained some of us to take up arms and just blow some people away. When that happens and the populace uprises, if they control the food, they cut that off. Only people who can grow their own food and hunt their own food are going to be able to survive that. You know, that's probably the end game for those of us living in rural areas. So that's a huge key, is to be independent of this, you know, industrial food system, because you can take up arms and take over capitals. There's my Fed post, by the way. But when you do, they cut your food and money off. What are you going to do? You got to have your own food and a way to trade with others.
Paul Stevenson.
Yeah, be as independent as you possibly can. And you know, I've reached a point, rightly or wrongly, where I have a strong urge now to organize myself to leave the country. You know, it feels like I'm in Babylon. And, you know, it's very, very hard. I was talking to Steve Gregg earlier, to find Christians that you can fellowship with as well, which is very, it's not very good for your spiritual life. You know, people to meet up with. You go to these churches and you think, you just leave depressed, you know. And you think, well, I don't know, maybe I'll go somewhere else, get away. You know, there was another guy thrown in prison for 4 years in the Patriotic Alternative Movement there a couple of weeks ago. And, that's the way my mind is. It gets so bad where you think, you know what? The hell with the place. You know, I mean, there's only so much I can do, you know.
Well, gentlemen, we're out of time. Great discussion, and always leaving more to further extrapolate. But have a great weekend, all. Thank you all for being here. Folks, please support RBN to keep this free speech possible. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate button. Patrick Slattery will be live again today if you want to listen in live and call. And we will
call in and heckle him.
Yeah, you should do that. And we'll speak again soon, folks. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023. At antelopehillpublishing.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.